For the Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Gale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot, with a tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. Well, hello, this is Clyde J. Kell, and once again, it's Monday, June the 20th, and you are listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 152. I'm here with my two best artist friends, and we have a guest, too. I'm going to say hello to Diane.
Hi, Constance. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, Susan.
And Diane, introduce our guest for us.
Our guest today is Susan Gagan, and she's a new artist, and she's come on to tell us about her story.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Before we get started, for our listeners, if you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com, that's the information page link. And I did put up some videos there talking about anxiety as an artist and rejection as an artist. And I don't know if we'll get around to talking about that, because I always have a have something up in case our scheduled guest doesn't make it. But Susan made it, so we'll talk all about Susan. We'll let Susan introduce her. Susan, what do you do for a living, and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I call myself a medical mom. I have a background in marketing and sales, and I've had many, many of my own businesses. I had an event planning business. I co-owned a restaurant with my mom. We decided to go all Gilmore Girls and bought an antique shop and turned it into a restaurant. I don't know what we were thinking, but it was a good few years. In 2016, I had my daughter, Lorelei, and everything in life turned upside down. I was still working in marketing, but I had to cut back quite a bit because Lorelei was born with a lot of medical complications. She spent 77 days in the NICU, and we learned halfway through that visit that she wasn't, quote unquote, just a preemie. She was a rare disease child with mitochondrial disease. I had never heard of mito before. And this was my first kid. I was like, this isn't how this is supposed to go, you know? I quickly learned that the type of mito Lorelei has is FBXL4 related. There's not even a name for it. It's just related to that gene. And she was the 31st documented case. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, oh, like at this hospital? They're like, no, No. And I was like, oh, like in Virginia? No. Finally, I caught on that she was the 31st documented case in the world. So when you have like less than a classroom of people ahead of you, you really don't know what the outcome is going to be. And I can tell quickly what mito is because that kind of affects our story, but mitochondrial disease, if you think back to like high school bio where you learned about the mitochondria in the cell, it's the powerhouse of your cells. It's the one that makes the energy so that you can grow properly, that your organs develop, that you have muscle and strength. And my kids both have mitochondrial disease and their mitochondria do not function properly. So Lorelai and then later my son Benji, we were told 2 to 5 year life expectancy. We were told they will probably never walk, talk, sit up, eat by mouth. And, you know, taking all of that in, I told you before that my outlet was writing at the time. Like I am a very creative person. So I wrote my way through this journey as a medical mom. And I started sharing that on our Facebook page, Fridays with Lorelai, and, you know, just kind of helped build up a community a little bit. I have since, we now have Benji. It was a 25% chance that any children we have will be affected by this disease. And our second child, Benji, also has the disease. That was a, you know, not what we had expected or hoped for, but I wouldn't change my kids for anything. I'd probably change the prognosis, but I keep them and their quirkiness and their nonverbal and their, you know, being nonverbal does not mean that they are not sassy. That is for sure. So jumping ahead a little bit, July of 21, we are about 10 days shy of July 7th now recording this. And on July 7th last year, Lorelai passed at 5.5 years old. And, you know, we knew it would happen. We just didn't know how or when. And you hang on to that hope that your story is going to be different and your kid's going to be the outlier and that, you know, a cure will come because there is no cure for this disease. And so when she passed, everything in me was upside down. Grief is heavy. And I am now dealing with what I call grief for Lorelai and anticipatory grief for Benji, because I know this disease is going to take him too in the next few years. So I remember it was like a couple days after her, I called it a funeral party because we celebrated. The kid had the most colorful funeral I have ever. I mean, everybody was like, this is what funerals should be. This is a celebration. Like we had flowers and pinwheels and we danced to Princess Poppy at her funeral. So we, you know, I remember laying in her bed a couple days after her funeral and thinking, I need to paint. I was like, I don't paint. I painted in elementary school, but I need to paint. And my friends were all like, well, what can we do for you? I was like, well, you can order me paint. And they were like, what? I was like, I mean, Grubhub is great, but like, I don't know. Everything in me wants paint right now. So I started painting and I love colors. Lorelai was a very colorful person and I love blending colors and I love all of it. I still don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm painting. So I guess that makes me an artist. I'm not really sure. It's been almost a year now and I started painting last end of July. And there are some weeks where it's the only thing that like gets me up to keep going is just, I need to go out to Lorelai's she shed and I need to paint. Makes me feel a little closer to my kid.
Certainly does. And, you know, for our listeners, of course, they know the story, so I'm not going to tell it again, but before we started recording, I told Susan about how basically I got started in my art career because of my daughter. So I feel a bit of a companionship, you know, with kids are wonderful. They can motivate us to do wonderful things. And I just think that is that's very precious, and honoring your daughter, you know, with your painting and everything. So you said you've sewed some paintings, right?
I have. So I guess the cool thing that I've kind of landed on, I don't really know. I guess it's a collection. I'm not really sure. Again, not really an artist. I'm faking it till I make it here. But I started painting stars. My son, when he was born and we found out, you know, that he had the same disease, we created a hashtag for him called Stars for Benji. And our concept was, even in the darkest night, there's still stars, and you can look up and there is bright in the dark, and there is hope. And that at the time, Lorelai's disease was taking over more and more, and nights were so hard for us, taking care of a medically complex child and then a medically complex baby. It was just, nights were hard. So I started painting stars, and I'm a big fan of white space. I am in marketing and I love white space. So on a piece of white, large paper, I started painting a star, and I was blending colors in the star, and we now call them Hope Stars for Benji. Okay. And I sell these stars, and a little bit of the money goes back to mitochondrial disease research. But in the beginning, it was just a 12 by 12 ish star and different colors. And then I started painting flowers in the stars. And then I started painting skyscapes in the stars. And it's been, I number each star, because I feel like that's kind of a cool way of documenting my grief journey. And I think at this point I have painted, I want to say we are up to like 240 stars. it's just kind of become my thing. It's a good way to like bring in both kids and honor our journey.
Excellent. And so you've never had any training or in art? You've never gone to art school or anything like that?
Never have gone to art school. I've always been a very creative person. Like I said, words are kind of my thing. I really love writing, but I had my own wedding and event planning business. So I've always been drawn to like making things pretty. And I think when you're handed this life with two terminally ill kids, the only thing I can do, there is no cure. So the only thing I can do is make things pretty. And I loved to just, I can't fix this for anybody. So if I can make pretty things around us, then that's what I've been doing.
Okay. I don't want to hear it again. I'm not an artist. Because that's what art is all about. We have done many episodes of discussing the life of an artist, and what is an artist, and it comes in many different forms, you know, and in painting and sculptor and event planning and whatever. That's, you know, the creativity. You are a very creative person, and you are giving to the world, in my opinion, a very wonderful gift. And so look yourself in the mirror next time and say, I'm an artist. All right.
I will.
It's a wonderful way to remember your kids too. And, you know, and embrace what they're going through and what they've gone through, and bring it out and from the inside of you. So you're not holding all that.
Exactly. Yeah. What I had said, prior, I had told you guys that, Make-A-Wish gave Lorelai a she shed. My kid was a Disney princess fanatic. We were going to do Disney. We were going to, you know, pack up our circus and take it on the road. But COVID happened. And I remember them being like, well, we can wait and see what happens with this COVID thing. And I was like, well, this COVID thing isn't A, going to go anywhere, but B, definitely isn't going to be good for an immunocompromised family like me. So we need to pivot our plans. And so we pivoted to a she shed. Lorelai and Benji, they both struggled to regulate their body temperature. So if it's too hot, they can't be outside. If it's too cold, they can't be outside. If it's too humid, none of us should be outside. But so they built her a she shed, and it has windows all the way around it. It has two sliding glass doors. It's kind of a square little she shed. Two sides of it have sliding glass doors, and the rest of it have windows all the way around. So she could be inside, but also feel like she was outside. Well, and cool. they gave us,
I want one of those.
It's so great. The lighting is amazing. And I just go out there with a glass of wine and I paint. Okay. And, we call it Fort Lorelei. So my art studio is now Fort Lorelei. My husband was like, well, we could turn it into a gym. And I was like, we're not doing that.
That is not fun. You would never go out there if it were a gym.
No.
You got any questions for Susan?
No, it sounds like she's on a great journey with her artwork. I mean, you know, it's just,
I always ask Constance that, and she goes, deer in the head.
I always get the deer in the headlight look. Like, yeah, I'm not prepared. But no, it sounds like you're on a great journey, and it's helping you work through your grief with your children, which is, losing children is hard. And, yeah. You know, losing that young is really hard. I don't even know what that feels like. I've lost a couple of grandchildren at an early age, but not that early. You know, one was 21 and the other one was like 14 or 15. I forget how old she was, and it was hard.
Yeah. It's hard, and it's unexpected, you know, and grief for me has been, it comes in waves. And I think that's why part of the reason why I love painting the sky and the sea, because for me, like, grief comes in waves. And some days I can feel like the current at my ankles, and other days I feel like it's a tsunami. And I have basically painted that through all of this. And for me, you can see when I look at the pieces, I'm like, oh, that was a tough day. Oh, that was a good day. I remember doodle on that day. That one has a lot of pink in it. That one was all about Lorelei. So it's definitely helped. And it's been a really good learning experience too, because for me, I feel like everything in my home is so life or death, literally. And, you know, keeping a child alive, and both of them, but now just one, and doing meds and making big decisions all the time. And when I'm painting, I'm sure that there are some people who have gone to professional art schools that would disagree with me, but I don't feel like there's a wrong way of doing it. I feel like I'm just doing what feels good. And I'm making what I need to make at that time. And, you know, there is no life or death when it comes to standing out in the she shed and painting. And I don't have that inside my home. Everything is life or death inside my home. So when
I get, place.
Yeah, it's peaceful. And, I tell my art, I do talk to it. I think that, I don't know, but I tell it, I don't believe that any of you are ugly. In my head, I'm thinking, well, that one's a little ugly, but I figure they're all unique and they're all in their own way. Right.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. You're an artist, Diane, right?
We all have paintings that are ugly.
Those are the ones that are in a box in the shop somewhere.
Yeah. So that's not unusual at all. But yep. I think it's wonderful that you can work through your grief and you've been able to, it helps you to get out of your head and not be in that, you know, angst all the time with everything that's going on. It helps you to release some of that tension and enjoy your life a little bit, you know. I'm sure it's,
and I've learned that for me, it's not necessarily about the finished product. It's more or less about the process of getting there. And I think that that kind of mirrors my life too, because the finished product for my kids and my family is not stellar, but with Benji, now I can be focused on the process and being focused on being with him in the present until we get to wherever his story goes. So it's kind of, you know, it's not about the end. It's about the journey to get there, which sounds like a really bad Hallmark card. I'm sorry.
Well, the process is very important. Like that really, I mean, I think that's more important than the outcome. Like I don't, even when I'm creating art, I don't necessarily focus on how I want it to end. Like it's more of the, you know, the learning and the give and take and all that that goes on while you're creating. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Do you guys like start with something in mind? Again, I just go and throw paint. But do you like start with a idea of here's what I'm going to make, or do you just go?
I do. I did a couple paintings this week, and I think I'm going to call this series my dream series, because for the last week, I don't know why, I have been having some really strange dreams. In some people's mind, they might be called nightmares, but they're not, because I wake up very happy and very, very satisfied. But images of fruit, images of birds and butterflies and all mixed up. And so I did a painting. I've done two paintings with items that were in, you know, in those dreams. And one that I did, I completed Friday, I think it was. It's a little 8x10, so I could only take 4 or 5 hours, you know, in an oil. And it was completely, I had in my mind these images. So I looked up online photographs. I needed to see some cherry. I wanted some cherries. So I found some cherries in a bag. Okay. And then I wanted some peaches. So I found an image of some peaches. And then for some reason, a frog. So I found multiple images of a frog. These are what I look at as I'm painting, but I've already got the composition in my mind and it's already laid out, and just getting the hand to cooperate is the hard, you know? And so I do quite a bit of paintings like that. I'll get an image or an imagination, but then I work from photographs. These two are always giving me a hard time. Said, you got to paint live objects. You got.
Yeah. Today I painted from a photograph,
but I'm a student.
I'm not happy with my sea oats.
So I look at reference photos, you know, for the objects, but then I rarely ever do I paint from the photograph, like if it's a landscape or whatever, do I ever paint the actual image from the, I just pick out things, you know, and put them in and create my own composition. So yes, most certainly, if you are painting from your imagination, that is we was watching one video with Paul Klein. He had an artist. It's called your muse. That's your muse directing you. I like to think of it as a guardian angel, you know, a guardian angel that's kind of directing you and guiding your hand to creating your object, or in your case, it's your little girl.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she's guiding you, and that's perfectly all right. Yeah. Yep. I understand you have a podcast too. What's your podcast?
I do. It's called When Autumn Comes, and it is a podcast for medical and special needs moms and the people who love them. I started it December of 2020, and the idea was to give moms like me a space to share their stories and to feel less isolated, because this is a very hard journey to be on. And, you know, like you see all your friends going and doing things with their typical kids, and it's hard to see all of this happening, and we can't leave our four walls most days. And to find people who understand, and I'm sure even, you know, you creating this podcast for the art community, to be able to sit down and talk to people who are like-minded and who are doing the same things, it's wonderful. So we have a podcast, and every week we have a medical or special needs mom come on the show and share their story. And we just kind of talk through what they're experiencing. And we talk a lot about, you know, G-tubes and grief. And we talk about our kids and IEPs and things like that. So it's been great. When Lorelai passed, I took a few months off, but we have just released, I think we're at episode 65 now. And it's been really, really good. I've loved it.
For our listeners, what's your website so they can find you?
Yeah. My website is suzgagan.com, S-U-Z, and I'll spell my last name, S-U-Z-G-E-O-G-H-E-G-A-N.com. And on there you can find, I have a shop where I have some art and some shirts and stuff that we've sold for mitochondrial disease. And I have information about my book that's coming out. I am writing Lorelai's eulogy and putting it into a book. And I'm really, really proud and hopefully gonna have that done in the next couple of weeks. At least the manuscript. The book will be a little bit. And the podcast is When Autumn Comes. And on social media, that's When Autumn Comes Podcast. And then my social is at Suze Gagan. So definitely connect. I love meeting new people.
Yes. Excellent. So for our listeners, please, I recommend that you check out Susan's material. And Diane, you got anything else you want to add? Or
no, I just think it's, I can't imagine losing a child. And I think you're doing a wonderful job. I mean, I think I just can't imagine, you know, it hasn't even been a year yet that you can actually talk about it. You know, I'm sure all the things you're doing have helped you get through it all, and, you know, having other people to talk to and, you know, just sharing your grief and the things you've gone through must really be helping a lot.
We said from day one when we got this diagnosis that we wanted to make as much good come from it as possible, and that's what we've done. And I am now using my art and my writing to create as much hope as I can for other families.
And you're very brave. You are very, very brave, because I know it's very hard to be vulnerable, and it's hard to share. So you are very, very brave for doing this. And you definitely have my respect and my applause.
Thank you.
And listeners, one more time, give your website out so they can catch that.
SuzeGagan.com, SuzeGeoGhegan.com. And on social media, it's at SuzeGagan.
Excellent. Okay. We'll wrap up this episode, the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 152 for June the 20th. And we have been talking with our guest artist, Susan Gagan. And I've been joined by Constance and Diane, my two best artist friends. I'll say good night to everybody and let Diane say goodbye to everybody.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance. Good night, Susan and everyone.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Susan. Good night, Diane. And thank y'all for listening.
Thank you guys for having me. Good night, everyone.
Thank you so much, folks, for listening. And yes, thank you, Susan. I hope you come back and visit us again. Bye-bye, folks. Until next time.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends Podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.